when you get more angry at the referees than you do the abortion doctors. He does have a problem with me when I get far more angry about traffic than I do injustice and racism and sex trafficking. But it's the object that's the problem, not the anger in and of itself. So I do think there is room to be angry when we see things happening in our culture that we know that God says ought not be happening. But you can't be angry 24/7. You're going to blow out your heart. You're going to have a heart attack. You can't be wired up 24/7. The Bible talks about anger. It also talks about wrath. And it almost universally condemns wrath. Wrath in the English language comes from the old word wraith, which is comes where we get our word wreath. And when you think of wreath, you think of something twisted. Wrath is when the anger gets inside of you and it twists you, it deforms you, it takes over you. And so we can't go that far. We are still called to be loving towards our enemies, towards those who might even use us. We're called to show the grace of God to them. So out and out wrath and anger is not the solution, not the biblical solution. But turning our blind eye, that's certainly not a solution either. But sitting around and becoming sad saps is not the solution either. Christians aren't called to sit in holy huddles and talk about how great it used to be and how bad it is now and how horrible it's going to get. God hasn't called us to live that kind of life. Joy is characteristic of the believer. So then the question is, well, then how should we be living? When we see the injustice and when we see the terrible things happening, when we see a nation drifting and we can't seem to do anything about it, how should we be living? And the Bible says that in every age, but particularly in an age like ours, we ought to be people of great faith. We ought to be people who are living by faith. Now, there's two sides to the coins when we talk about people who in a wayward generation are living by faith. The first is this, that people who live by faith do not walk by sight, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:7. If you live by faith, you don't go by what you see. Now, the Bible says that in 150 different ways. Let me show you one. And Hebrews chapter 11. This is about Moses. The Bible says Moses, by faith, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. They're always passing. Next slide, if you will. Esteeming the approach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Now, Moses lived in Egypt. It was the superpower of his day. Egypt was a visual spectacle. They transcripted messages through the eye. They built the pyramids. They built tremendous temples to gods. And all of that was meant to transcribe a message that their gods were great, they were undefeatable, that the gods that the pyramids and the temples were built to honor. And I know that the pyramids were also tombs, but they made the Pharaoh's gods, and the pyramids were essentially made to honor those gods. It all pointed to one message, that the gods couldn't be beat, that the gods were important, and that if you went against the gods would break you. But here's Moses living in this age when everything he saw said, if you mess with this, it'll break you. But the Bible says by faith, Moses lived in that age believing in the invisible God, the God that could not be seen. Where did he learn about that God? I believe he learned about it from his mother, who was his nurse, who would whisper in his ear, "You're not like these people. These people serve false gods. You were raised to serve the true God." And so the Bible says again that in a visual age, Moses walked not by what he saw, but what he had heard from his mother, and he believed and saw the invisible God. You and I are called to not walk by what we see. Satan is at war in our minds against God. And the war is over what we see versus what we hear. More about that in a minute. When Satan comes at you, he comes at us usually visually. 1 John chapter 2 talks about the world that Satan controls. And it says, "Do not love the world, neither the things of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all this is the world, the lust of the flesh, sexuality, the lust of the eyes, greed, and the pride of life, arrogance, is not of the Father but of the world." But notice this. The lust of the flesh really does start with the lust of the eye. And then you've got the lust of the eye out and out, or materialism. And then you got the pride of life, or arrogance, or really the desire to look a certain way. And Satan makes his attempt to subdue us through what we see. The lust of the eye, which feeds the lust of the flesh, materialism, and the desire to look a certain way. Satan comes at us in our eyes. It's what he's after. He's driving, he's working at us with the eyes. Pornography, sexuality comes through the eye. Greed comes through the eye. Depression comes through the eyes. Remember Psalm chapter 73, where Asaph, who was the choir director of the temple, said, "But as for me, my foot almost slipped. My feet almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped." What was the cause of the slipping? He says, "When I saw the prosperity of the wicked." It was through his eyes that he almost lost his faith. He looked around and he saw people who weren't trying to live right, people who were dogs, people who were thieves, and their kids never got sick. Their stocks always went up. They always seemed to have the newest car in their garage. And here he was. He was living for the Lord. His kids couldn't stay out of the doctor's office. He was driving a Corolla. And he lived in a house full of paneling. And he said, "When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I got into despair." Satan oppresses you. He brings despair through what you see. It's what you're looking at that causes the despair. And the Bible says again, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's why when you start to say, "Well, as I see it," you just stopped walking by faith. If you start to say, "Well, it seems to me the way I'm looking at this." No, you're not walking by faith when you start to say, "Well, it seems to me," or "as I see it," or "when I look at it." No, you stopped walking by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We have to have the spirit of Elisha. Remember, in the 2 Kings, I believe, the city of Dotham surrounded. Many of you know that story. His prophet, his servant comes out of the house, and in the night, the king of Syria has surrounded the city. Thousands of soldiers and chariots. His prophet has a Barney Fife breakdown. He goes nuts, and he goes to Elisha and says, "Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And Elisha comes out, and in my opinion, he just hikes his pants, and he looks around, and he says, "Dear Jesus, let this guy see what I see." And the Lord opened that servant's eyes, and what he saw surrounding the army of Syria was chariots as with fire and horsemen. Elisha saw the invisible. He saw something that no one else sees. Saw. He didn't go by what he saw, or he'd have been freaking out with the rest. But he saw something they did not see. He didn't walk by what he saw with his natural eyes. When we walk by faith, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by what we've heard. The Bible also says, and faith comes through hearing. This is Romans 10:17. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People who walk by faith don't go by what they see, but they go by what they've heard. They've heard something. Remember when Jesus was tempted in Luke chapter 4, Satan is there, and they're in the wilderness? Satan tempts him the first time. And Jesus says to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Man doesn't live by what he sees, the bread. He lives by the word of God. And Satan takes him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in the moment. And he says, if you'll worship me, you can have all these kings. Now there you have it again. Here is Satan saying, let me show you something. Let me show you what you could have if you weren't obedient to your Father. Let me show you what you could have. But Jesus responds in faith and he says, I don't go by what I see. I live by the Word of God. I go by something that I've heard in my life. Now, Elijah, in his day, was in a horrendous place. The nation was ruled by Ahab and Jezebel. And they were really good at being bad. In fact, outside of Solomon, no one expanded the borders of Israel more than Ahab in his day. He was a horrendous, henpecked man. It was probably his wife who was doing it for him, but he was really good at what he was doing. And he lived in this age where God had been put aside. It was the first time in Israel where there had always been idol worship. It was the first time in Israel where the kings endorsed it and said, do it. Do it with me. I'm going to do it. You need to do it with me. It was the first time that it was nationally mandated to worship idols. And Elijah lived in that. And it was a mountain to climb. I mean, he gets in a cave and he says, Lord, I'm the only one. No one's serving you. No one is right. The whole country is gone. It's too late to save this place. And God came to him, and I think he had a point. He sent, first of all, a great wind. The Bible says, but God wasn't in the wind. The rocks were falling, the mountain was quaking, but God wasn't in the wind. And then he sent an earthquake. The Bible says, but God wasn't in the earthquake. Elijah could see it. He saw the rocks falling. He saw the earthquake. But God wasn't in what he was seeing. And then a great fire came. But God wasn't in the fire, the Bible says. But then the still small voice. God said, Elijah, I'm going to show you some stuff. You've been looking at the nation. You've been looking at the issues. Let me show you some more stuff. But I want you to understand, I'm not in any of that. So don't look at that. Listen to me, because I'm going to whisper something to you. And what God whispered to him was, listen, I got a plan. First of all, you're not alone. There's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. There's an army out there that's still ready to march at my command. And I've got people lined up. And I've got Ahab and Jezebel's named days numbered. But if Elijah had gone by what he saw, well, he did, and he was in the cave saying, Lord, kill me. You'll get there if you go by what you see. But when he heard a voice, his faith revived. His faith revived. Your faith will revive. Your spirits will revive. Mine will, when we go by what we hear, not by what we're seeing. Listen, in a place that's difficult, when the world is quaking, when things are crumbling, we need to hear something from God. We need to hear Him say, no weapon formed against you shall stand. We need to hear in difficult times Him saying, I will never leave you or forsake you. When the world is falling apart, you need to listen to a whisper from heaven that says, I know my plans for you. They are plans to prosper you, not harm you. I have plans to give you a hope and a future. When you're in a place, temptation, and all around you, you don't like what you see, you need to hear the whisper, which says, my grace is sufficient for you. For in your weakness, I am made strong. I'll be strong for you. My grace is enough for you. Don't look at the doctor's report. Listen to me. My grace is sufficient for you. We need to hear heaven saying, we need to hear the words of Jesus saying to us, listen, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We need to hear from heaven and heaven saying, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to the Lord, and the peace that passes understanding will guard your heart through Christ Jesus. Need to hear something when we don't like what we're seeing. We need to hear Jesus saying, listen, even if they kill you, they won't really kill you, because I will give you a crown of eternal life. The difficulty is you got to hear something. The Bible, the Old Testament, talks a lot about circumcision. And if you're new to the Bible, one of the things you'll ask yourself once you start reading those passages is, what's up with circumcision? It's all over the place. Well, it was God's way with Jewish men of confirming the covenant. It was a Jewish man's way of saying, I am committed to Yahweh, and I am in a covenant with Him, and I plan to serve Him always. It was, in many ways, the baptism of the Old Testament. It was the wedding ring that we have. It's a confirmation. But God came along and He says, I just don't want the circumcision. But He says, I also want you to have circumcised hearts. Which have circumcised hearts. I want to know that you're committed to me, not by looking at your body, but when I look at your heart, I want to know that you have made a commitment to me. I want to see something in your heart. I want to see a newness, a commitment in your heart. I want circumcision of the heart. But did you know that the Bible just doesn't talk about circumcision of the flesh and circumcision of the heart? It also talks about circumcision of our ears. Look at Jeremiah chapter 6. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Just not our hearts. It's our ears that need to be committed to God. It's our ears that need to be open to God. As our hearts are open to Him, so our ears need to be open to Him. We need to be hearing some things, just not seeing some things, but hearing some things. You watch the news, you see what's going on, you'll be defeated, you'll be cast down, but it's not what I see, it's what I'm hearing from heaven that I'm going to walk in. There's a place in Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm winding down, by the way. But you know, don't log off. Hebrews chapter 12. This is a complicated passage, so let me put it in points for you. Great passage. He says, see that you do not refuse Him who speaks. God is speaking. Listen to Him. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, so they primarily Jewish people in the Old Testament, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven. So, point one, God is speaking. We need to hear what God is saying. But He says, when people don't listen, when the world starts to get in a place where the vast majority aren't caring what God is saying, point two, something happens, and that is there's a whole lot of shaking that starts going on. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now He has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that can be shaken. Semicolon. So point one is, we need to listen to what God is saying. Point two is, when the world gets to a place where the vast majority aren't listening to what God's saying, God has another way of speaking. He starts to shake things up a little bit. He starts to quake. You didn't know God was a Quaker, did you? He starts to quake things up. And that comes through natural disasters. That could come through any number of things. I don't want to make a statement about diseases and those kinds of things. But when God quakes, bad things happen. Lives start to fall apart. But He says something else. He says it'll fall apart for most people. But notice point three. Yet once more indicates the removal of things that are being shaken, as if things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, what are the things that can't be shaken? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. The thing that is not going to be shaken when the whole world is shaken is the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? It's everybody who calls God king. That's the kingdom of God. Everybody who calls Jesus Christ king, who has heard a different voice, who has heard, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Everyone who has heard Jesus Christ and who is following Jesus Christ, who has made Him king, they're in the kingdom. And when the whole world is being shaken because people haven't been listening, those who are in the kingdom will not be shaken. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 when He finished the Sermon on the Mount. He said, he who hears my words and does them, that's the important. You got to hear, but you got to do. If you hear my words and you do them, Jesus says, you'll be like a man who builds his house upon a stone, upon a rock. The winds blow and the storms come and beat upon that house, but the house is standing at the end of the storm. How do you know you're going to be standing when everything else is being shaken? Because you've heard something. And you walk by faith, not by sight. You walk by what you hear. You walk by what you're reading. But you don't walk by what you're seeing. God has called us to be people of faith. People of strong faith. People who live the Word. People who are sensitive to hearing God speak deep into their spirits. And when everybody else is losing their heads, if you walk by faith, you won't lose yours. When everybody else is going nuts on Facebook, you'll still be able to post smiley faces on Facebook. When everybody else is angry and mad at Washington, you'll be sitting back saying, I'm angry and mad too, but I don't expect much from people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. And you'll be able to say, like your grandma, bless their hearts. You'll be able to stand when the world is being shaken. It's time for some of you to come to faith. It is. It's never too late to come to faith. Jesus Christ is saying, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Jesus Christ says, if anyone will come after me, deny the world and follow me, that he would give them eternal life and he would bless them. If you hear something today, you can stand against everything you see happening around you. But you got to begin to hear something. It's never too late to begin to hear something. Some of you, and I love you, but you've been playing church a long time. This is not the time to be playing church. You've been messing around the edges of the church, and you run real good for a while, and then you don't run very good for a while. Because you go by what you see and what you feel, not what you've heard. It's time to get your feet on a solid rock. Listen to me. The words of Jesus don't change. The stock market changes. The government changes. Political parties change. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're going to be like a seashell in the water if you don't come to a place of faith where you walk by hearing, not by seeing. It's never too late. You know, two of my heroes in the Bible don't get any credit. They're the Snells that got on the ark. Somehow they got on. They got on last. They didn't get on first. But they got in before it started to rain. And if you get in late, get in. If you're 50, get in. If you're 60, get in. If you're 70 or 80 or 90, get in. Get your feet on the rock that won't move. Stand with me. Will and Sarah, come back and sing that song. Come back and sing that song. Because that's the essence of faith. In everything I see going on, I got to remember, but there's Jesus. I may not see him with my eyes, but I can hear him speaking to my spirit. I can read his word. I know his mission in the world. In spite of what I see, there's Jesus. There's somebody I don't see that makes all the difference with what I do see. Today, maybe you're in a place where what you see isn't pretty. The doctor's report wasn't pretty to look at. You look at the world, you don't like what you see. Join me. I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't like what I see. Maybe you're looking at your family and you don't like what you see. It's time to begin to hear something. Jesus Christ is drawing us to a life of faith. And the life of faith is a life of strength. It's life on the rock. There's Jesus here today. If you need him, he's here for you. Why don't you come?